Hello, dearest lovelies, and welcome back to the Dear Lovely Universe podcast. I'm sitting here with my mom today, Carrie, and we're going to be filming a podcast on what it's like to be a mom. So this goes out to all the women out there, moms-to-be, moms already, and I hope that you find value.
And men who want to understand their women.
And men. And I hope you find this of value to help you in your life. So my mom was born and raised in Washington.
In the 70s.
And she became a mom at a fairly early age that you'll learn about soon. She has gone through labor 6 times. Well, let's welcome my mom.
Hello, I'm Carrie, better known as Mom.
So Mom, let's jump right into it. What does being a mom mean to you?
Really, all that this life is about is learning and giving them that opportunity and, you know, like helping them out. And it isn't necessarily about giving them their bodies. I mean, that's just kind of a given. But being able to give them the best experience that they can in this life to achieve their life purpose. And that is not an easy task because every child has a different life purpose. There's so many phases that kids go through as they learn that. And it's all about guiding them through those phases, which means you have to be at a pretty good level of wisdom yourself in order to guide them correctly. And that doesn't just come with age, that comes with experience, with also being guided and taught. Well, it hasn't been easy for me to really raise kids when I was very naive in the beginning anyways. Lucky I had a lot of help along the way. But, once my kids get to a certain age, you all have helped and guided me. And so it's been a collaborative where I've learned that it isn't just I'm the mom and I know everything. I'm just another spirit. I happened to be born before you. I had more experience. So, of course, a little more wisdom to be able to help you, to just kind of raise you. In the end, we're all spirits and we all just kind of are here to help each other. And sometimes parents have to kind of take a step back and realize that their kids have a lot to teach them too.
How has being a mom impacted your life?
I think being a mom has shown me that what's really important in life, because just knowing that my kids need to have that I have to be there for my kids. Like, I couldn't be immature and I couldn't just waste my time away. I couldn't just be focusing on myself. I had to be focusing on my kids and what is best for these kids in their life. Point is, what I really wanted to show you guys in my life, and I still, each day I learn more and more. But my whole point, ever since the beginning, and what really shocked my brain into understanding was when Ryan was born and I was just 19, was I always get these things like where it's like a vision. So he was born, and when the nurse first put him in my arms, his little green eyes looked up at me. First time I'd ever seen such an amazing. This experience is amazing. The first time you see your little baby's eyes looking up at you. And all of a sudden, I knew inside myself, it was like this knowledge of this baby here, this precious baby, depending on how I am as a mother, could either have a good life or a bad life. Could either end up on the battlefield or could end up in a place next to me and have a good life with me. And I knew that it had a lot to do with the decisions that I would make of how that child's life would be.
Yeah. And so what were some of the decisions that you feel like were positive for your children's lives?
I always tried to do things that were moral. Like, I never wanted to fall into immorality. And one thing that was, it was Hollywood. Like, you know, I'm so close to Hollywood here in LA, and I was tall, and I had the look that the modeling agencies, they offered, you know, that I could be a model and I could go travel and I could be international. And I had all these opportunities. And I even got a part in a movie one time. But there was always a trade-off. Like in the movie, I would have had to show my breasts. So automatically I was told them no. Because to me, doing something immoral and getting caught up into a lifestyle that would take me away from the family and so far from my kids, to me, that it just wasn't right. To me, I feel like the kids at least need their mother around, like in the same city at least. Mm-hmm. And you know, just being wrapped up in myself and into my looks and into my own career and being swept away from them, I didn't see that as being possible. Also, there was so much immorality in that field of work, that it was just, it just, you know, like one thing, it's really hard to talk about, but, rape is sort of this normal thing. It isn't even called rape. Like when someone forces sex on a model, it's just, the way life is. And that to me was, it was just, no, this isn't going to happen. I'm not going to be in this. I'm not going to accept this. I'm too good of a person. I have to be a better person so that I can be for my kids. And there is no job in the world more important than my kids, even my dream job of modeling.
Yeah. Do you feel that sometimes moms sacrifice the quality of life with their kids for other materialistic things?
I see it around all the time. I see it around. There's always temptations and lures to take us away from the things that are important in our lives. You know, moms often, they work hard and they feel like they deserve to go out. I see moms going out all the time and leaving their kids alone. They go and they drink and they do whatever they do, but they enjoy themselves at the expense of their kids being taken care of by the older kids often. And that's kind of a sad thing. But yeah, I see parents being taken away, especially for their jobs, like what I just spoke about, usually men, but I don't know, like women, you know, they decide to have kids and then go into the army or into the military or, you know, and that's really a sad thing. Nobody should, it's okay, but I'm not condemning anyone. We have to pay bills. We have to go through our life. We have to be better people for our kids. And a lot of times, you know, we see that as being the work opportunity. And I understand that, but I think that there's a lot of lures that take us away from our number one main objective of being the best parent that we can possibly be.
Yeah. What would you tell your 18-year-old self when you were pregnant with your first child?
I was so naive at the time. Can you believe I didn't even really think of this child being an adult? In my immature, naive mind, I thought I was having a baby, and that's all. In my mind, I'm having this baby. And that was it. Well, I was just having a baby, and I was kind of a young person having a baby, and everybody was looking at me like I was naive, and they were right. But I never thought that this baby was going to grow up and be my best friend one day. If I could go back in time and tell myself and see that this child is going to be my number one defender and my best friend through this entire life, he's the one that'll stand up for all you guys do. Though he is the oldest one, and he has really stood up against everyone who's tried to hurt me, be it, you know, one of the little brothers and sisters or some force outside. Wow, I remember when he was 4 or 5 years old, and I had taken him with me. I always knew I wanted to take him around with me. I didn't go alone, but this time I probably should have. But I was working for a crooked lawyer. Didn't know he was crooked. Actually, I kind of knew he was a little shady. But I thought it was an opportunity. I was pretty naive. But so this lawyer had me go meet him in this other city. Anyways, I was far away from anyone. And one of his friends, I don't know what their deal they had going on, but he had guided me to go to this one friend's apartment for whatever reason. I don't know. But it was just this guy. And the guy started to try to do things with me, even though Ryan was there and he's like a little boy. And the guy, I just remember this image. The guy picked me up and he started like I don't know what he was going to do, but I mean, this guy was like sexual, you know? And I was like, no, stop, put me down. And Ryan was only four, he pushed this guy's legs. He pushed him and he said, "Put my mom down." And from that point forward, I realized, man, this is my soldier here. So I want everyone to know that, I mean, this is, you know, pretty, it's a big deal that we should know that our kids, like, we're there to protect them. And there are soldiers sometimes too. There are little warriors, and we can never just dismiss them and just, you know, they have their gifts. And one thing is they really love their parents. And it took me a lot of years to really figure love out, because I was so confused as a kid, going through foster homes and being abused and barely surviving childhood. Like, I was really confused about love. I had great, great adopted parents, but by the time they adopted me, now I was already really broken. And I learned love through these kids, through all my kids. I learned love. I learned how to love, to not be afraid of love, and to not be making excuses anymore to not love them.
How do you think that parents can show love for their children?
By always knowing that they can do better. By never just being complacent and thinking that they're doing the best they can and doing good. I mean, it's good to have a balance and to know and have confidence that you are doing the best you can, but to know you're doing the best you can for their future, not your own, but for their future, that you're giving them what you can, be it discipline through love or material things, confidence, knowledge, but you're doing it for their future. So that they can be happy and successful. And success just means having a nice, happy lifetime.
Yes. What has been the most difficult thing about having children?
Sometimes I get paranoid that they're going to get hurt. And then I get stressed out. And stress is such a self-defeating, when you worry all the time, thing. And I really think that maybe is what a lot of moms go through. Maybe we need to support each other with that, but I'm always worried that something bad is going to happen. And it's always some impending doom. It's too much stress.
Yes. So how do you conquer your stress?
I've picked up metaphysics, and I learned how to meditate in my own way. I learned the techniques, and it really helps me. There have been times where I've just had to sit and say a mantra to myself, Om Namah Shiva, over and over and over, just so that I could, like, kind of reboot myself, because my mind would just be racing and thinking these things. And I know that that's not healthy. Yeah. There's many, many other things too, but talking to other people has really helped, but sometimes it was self-defeating because other people sometimes use your secrets as a weapon against you. So I've learned to not talk too much. And I read a lot of spiritual books that really helped me to understand my spirit, who I was, because that's my interest. And I would say that if anybody just, like, finds their interest, it sort of gets your mind back to balance and focused and helps your brainwaves to sort of get back into that, out of the high beta stress and more into maybe, like the nice brainwaves that where you can function and flourish.
You mentioned that you came from a family where you were adopted. How do you think this has impacted your family of having your own kids?
Because I don't know any other way except for being adopted, but I do see other people, and they take for granted the fact that, you know, they have moms there for them and aunts and uncles and these big families that are there to help them with their kids, and that they have big Thanksgiving dinners, and that they get together all the time, and that they have this massive support all around them.
Yeah.
And my parents really tried to make up for that by being there for me. But when I moved out of Seattle and I was here on my own, that's when I started noticing, wow, I wish, and I want everyone to know, stay around your families. It doesn't matter. And be grateful. It doesn't matter if it's just two people, that's a mom and a dad, or if it's who it is, but be grateful and let the small things go and just enjoy your families, because you do need to be there for each other. And it sure helps, like, especially through the holidays and when you have kids and you need good support for your kids, because you can't just trust any old stranger in this world anymore. You know, it's good to have family, and can't trust all family either, but, you know, they're at least is a few people in the family that you need to like kind of try to keep a good relationship with. And
yes. So we have Ricky in our family, and Ricky is diagnosed with autism. And so can you please share how having a child with autism has impacted your life?
Besides the fact that that child takes a lot of energy and that I've had to do a lot of meditation to de-stress from his issues, it's sometimes I just look at him and I get, like, I feel sad. I feel really sad for him because he is so confused about, like, his juxtaposition in this world is so confusing. He's always trying to figure it out. Who am I? What is my self-value? What is my worth? And he gets very depressed. And I see him being so depressed. And I also am noticing that, you know, there's other parents who have children who are autistic, and they're saying the same things, that they get aggressive because they get so frustrated. And then they start self-abusing. And it's a confusing place because this is a new thing. This isn't something, you know, that's been studied and going on for hundreds of years that, you know, people have tackled and understand. I just get a lot of, well, we don't know what's going on. We don't really know how to fix that. You know, and I'm a trained, like, my degree's in psychology, and I understand, you know, behavior, and I don't understand him. Like, I really don't understand why, you know, why is he so oppositional? Why can he not understand things? Why does he hear things and he twists it in his mind, and it's like he understands it in this way?
Do you feel that this can be an isolating experience?
Oh, yeah. We've definitely we've been kicked out of a lot of places because people – see, he's verbal. And so, you know, when a child is autistic and verbal, the things they say, they can get very offensive. They can be insulting, just – downright mean. And that just has really isolated us from a lot of people.
What advice do you have for people that may have children that are autistic or have autism, or parents to be that might be bringing in a child that might have the similar qualities?
Just take all the help you can. As long as people, it doesn't matter who they are, if they're busy and focused on what they're doing and like what they're doing, they're going to be okay. My problem is I don't have help for him. I have all these other kids, and especially little girls. I can't be taking him to skate parks, and I can't be taking him to football and basketball and baseball and all the things that he should have done as a little boy. Do that with your kids. I swear, if I would have done that, we'd be in a much better place now. Dads, don't leave your kids. Do what you have to just at least be around them, to be there for them. If you can't be around them physically, send them money so their moms can afford to do the things that would help them. But they need a lot of resources, because sitting there and being bored is not the way. They just get depressed and they just kind of, you know, like, deteriorate.
Yeah. So do you have any final advice for moms-to-be or struggling moms out there? Or even just mothers.
Yeah, I want them to know that don't worry, because your instincts got you. It's there. You know, tap into doing the best that you can for your child, and also take care of yourself too. I think that's where I went wrong, is like, I'll just give all to my kids until I drop. And then I know that I'm stressed out because there's more that I didn't do and I'm dropped already. And like, it's just, you have to give to yourself and you have to ask for help. But just know that your instincts have you, you're covered. Like, you'll know what to do when as soon as your baby's born. There's nobody who doesn't know. We all know what to do. Like, we all know what to do. Even the dullest tools in the shed have been able to know what to do to raise their children into adults. You know, it's the most important thing is to learn to, we can't be selfish. Once we have kids, we cannot be selfish. We have to know that you do have to take care of yourself, but now it's about a child. And if you want something, but you know, that's going to get in the way of the child's well-being, just have to let it go. You have to. You know, it's just life. And if you don't want to let something go, then enjoy your life first and then have children.
Mm-hmm.
Another important thing. Mm-hmm. It's a mistake I made, and I don't want to air my dirty laundry, although this is really important. I want all women to know. Men too. Never leave your children for another man. And if a man is mistreating your children, get away as fast as you can. That's it. Because the temptation to stay with a man, sometimes our dopamine in our brains can confuse us and make us think that somebody's better than they are. It happens all the time. This is just part of life. Although that naiveness can get you hurt and definitely get your children hurt. And if there's any kind of an abusive sort of tendencies that you feel from anyone, keep your children away from them. Because that'll really hurt them, especially if they're on the spectrum or they have some issues. But regardless, just even the most healthy child, just neurotypical, doesn't matter. Keep them away from anyone that you feel is abusive.
Yes, I stand by that. So my final question is, what does the universe mean to you?
The universe is very fractal-like, and I think that to every living organism, it's all about the one. Like, we're all one. This whole universe is one, and my life is supporting other lives, and other lives are supporting my life. There's tiny little bacteria that are supporting my life, even viruses supporting my life, and it's a respect for all of life that will eventually get you through your life and get you to where you needed and wanted to go. I believe everyone's purpose in this universe is to understand that the universe and that we're all one, basically.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Mom, for sharing. And thank you, dearest lovely, for tuning in. I post podcasts every first and third Fridays of the month and blogs every Monday. Stay tuned and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Happy holidays.
And happy holidays with love, Kaylin and Carrie.